Amen. That's why we're here this morning, to celebrate life, to celebrate real life, to live it up, the life-changing reality of Jesus Christ in each one of us. My name is Peter Horn. I'm one of the pastors here at Hill Country and have the privilege of speaking to you over these 3 weeks about real life and how you and I in our lives can live it up. Not everybody experiences real life. There's a lot of things that you can find on the internet. Really, no kidding. A lot of things you can find. One of the things you can find is last statements made by inmates who are facing execution. Consider the life of William Davis. The inmate, it says, made a moving statement apologizing for his crime and expressing his deep faith in God. And I can only wish that he had discovered that deep faith in God so much earlier in his life. He says, "That is all I have to say, warden." But then he said, then he had an afterthought and said, "Oh, I would like to say in closing, how about those cowboys?" Man, it's everywhere. If that doesn't make any sense to you, you'll have to talk to somebody who was here last week. Or get the tape. But the fact is, not everybody does experience real life. Not everybody does know what it means to have the abundant life that Jesus talked about. To experience eternal life that starts not after you die and go to heaven, but starts that moment that you enter into a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Not everybody knows what it means to truly have life, real life. And we define that as the life of Jesus Christ being lived out in me. And there's no substitute for that. There's no other kind of life that brings you fulfillment. There's no other kind of life that fills the emptiness in you that Jesus Christ can fill. And so I challenge you in these days to just take a really strong look at your life and ask yourself, what kind of life am I living? And can it be characterized with all of these things that I hear it means to have the life of Jesus Christ being lived out through me? We're looking at 2 Peter chapter 1, and we're going through that chapter over a 3 week period. Peter begins this passage today in verse 5 with these words, "For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But if anyone does not have them, he is nearsighted and blind, and has forgotten that he has been cleansed from his past sins. Therefore, my brothers, be all the more eager to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never fall, and you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." We're talking this morning about becoming a real life champion. Some of you may have had the privilege, the opportunity to play on a championship team in some sporting event in your past. But I want us to think this morning about what it means to be a champion, a real life champion. And there's a couple of things that we need to think about this morning to make that happen. And the first one is this: in order to be a real life champion, you have to play to be a champion. You have to play like a champion in your life. And when we look at this passage of Scripture, Peter points out to us just exactly how that can happen. Now, beginning in verse 5, he says, "For this very reason." What very reason? The very reason that we talked about last week in verses 1 through 4. The very reason that we have been given through the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ, we have been given real life. We have been given eternal life. It's God's gift to us to become His children. And once we receive that gift of real life, then that begins to change the way that we live our lives. And we talked about the fact that through God's power, we've been given everything we need for life and godliness. Everything we need for our lives to become like Jesus Christ. And that one day we will be like Him when we stand before Him and when we're transformed, our very lives are changed into the image of Jesus Christ. And we're like Him in our moral character. And Peter says, because of that gift that God has given to you, the gift of real life that saves you from the penalty of sin and that begins to set you free from the practice of sin in your life, and that one day in heaven you'll be free from the presence of sin. Because of that, for this very reason, then Peter turns our focus away from God and turns it to ourselves. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith. But we cannot begin that process until we first of all take this step, and that is to rely on God's power. We will never be all that God intends for us to be. We will never experience the life-changing reality of Jesus Christ as God intends until we learn to rely on God's power to do that. And that's the first place that Peter goes before he challenges them on what they can do to live out the life-changing reality of Jesus Christ. He says, don't even start without relying on God's power to do that. And we remember that promise from last week. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness. Each one of us, regardless of who we are, we've been given that by God so that it can happen. But we need to realize that it's not about me struggling with all my energy. It's about me giving my best effort in partnership with God's power. And Peter said that that power belongs to us, that all this life and godliness that God has given to us happens through our knowledge of Him. Not our head knowledge, but our relationship knowledge with Him. Our intimate knowledge of Him, our intimate relationship with Him. And as we engage in that interactive relationship with God, we begin to experience His power in our life in ways that we could never experience. So Peter sets the stage for playing like a champion when he says, rely on God's power. Then he gives us another step to take. He says, bring your A game. Don't come to this pursuit of becoming like Jesus Christ in your life in a half-hearted way. Maybe you've witnessed your favorite sports team show up for a big game and not bring their A game, and you know what happens. Maybe you've been a part of something like that, and the team you were on, you knew, man, guys, we can play better than this. But you didn't have your A game that day, and you know what happens. Well, Peter says, hey, for this very reason, make every effort. Bring all the diligence that you can bring. Bring all the supply that you can bring under the power of the Holy Spirit. Make every effort to add to your faith goodness and to your goodness knowledge and to your knowledge self-control. And on and on and on he goes. God does His part. The question is, am I doing my part? Are you doing your part in partnership with God to see your life become more and more like Jesus Christ? And make no mistake about it, it's the issue here is character. Character. It's not about what my life looks like on the outside. It's about what my life looks like on the inside. Because if there's only outward change, the Bible calls that hypocrisy. Being one thing on the outside, but something completely different on the inside. It's about character change. Real life begins on the inside and works itself out. It's not a makeup job. It's not a makeover. It's an internal transformation. And this character transformation is a process. Peter describes it in this way. Make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. Those are all things that happen on the inside. And they reflect a kind of life on the outside, but if they're not there, we don't change on the inside. It's about our character being transformed. And it's a process whereby we become like Jesus Christ. It doesn't just happen. I don't just become a person of goodness. I don't just become a person of self-control. I just don't become a person of godliness or deep love. It's a process that takes place in my life. Character transformation is about a partnership with God, where God, through His Holy Spirit, does His work in me so that what people see is different. It's my character being changed. Character transformation. It's about a process. It's about a partnership with God. And it's about growing in these areas, all of them together at the same time. In other words, I don't grow in my faith to a certain point and I say, okay, that's good. I've grown in my faith and now I step over here and grow in goodness for a while and I get that done and then I step over here and grow in knowledge and then just keep going one at a time. But it happens simultaneously. God at work in all of these areas of our life, whichever one we need the most. You know, one of the things that we assume is that whatever God's doing in me, that's what He needs to do in everybody else at the same time. But we're all different. We all struggle differently in our character to be who God wants us to be. And so God's not interested in some sequence of these things happening so much as He's interested in all of them happening because they're so interrelated. But it's about our character. If we're going to live out the life of Jesus Christ with authenticity, with integrity, then the change has to happen on the inside. And Peter says, give it your best effort. Make every effort to see that these things happen. You can't do it by yourself, rely on God's strength. But Jesus said, not only without me can you do nothing, but the implication of that passage in John 15:5 is, if you do nothing, it'll be without me. Now let that sink in for a minute. To just sit there and do nothing, that is not the work of God in your life. God says, I have saved you for a purpose. And I invite you into a partnership with me to see that purpose play itself out. So in light of what I've done for you, for this very reason, you make every effort to see these things take place in your life. Bring your A game. And why wouldn't we? Why wouldn't we pursue real life with all of our hearts? Third step that Peter says we can take is to keep your head in the game. Verse 8 says that if we possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep us from being ineffective and unproductive in our knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, it is possible to have knowledge and not be like Jesus Christ. It is possible to know about Him, but know nothing of being like Him. And that's Peter's big warning here. Hey, if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, if you're growing in this area, if this progression, if this reproduction of the real life of Jesus Christ in you is happening, if that continues on, that will keep you from having empty, ineffective, unproductive, impotent knowledge of Jesus Christ. But then he says it is possible that you could forget these things and that they wouldn't have an impact in your life. Look at verse 9. But if anyone does not have them, he is nearsighted and blind and has forgotten that he has been cleansed from his past sins. If you don't have them, if this progression of becoming like Jesus Christ on the inside so that you look like Him on the outside, if that's not happening, Peter says the only way I can describe you is nearsighted and blind, as a person who has forgotten that he has been cleansed from his past sins. Just imagine that. Imagine the God of the universe coming into your life and forgiving all of your sins, giving you new life, giving you abundant life, eternal life, true life, real life, making it possible for the life-changing reality of Jesus Christ to be lived out through you, promising you that one day, in eternity, you and your character will be like Jesus Christ, and you'll live forever like that. Imagine somebody knowing that and forgetting it. Imagine somebody starting down that path of becoming like Jesus Christ and then getting distracted by other things, imitators of those things that we think provide real life. Stuff that we begin to accumulate or we begin to pursue because we think life is in those things, and we forget that Jesus told the rich fool, life does not consist in the abundance of your possessions. Or pursuing another relationship because we're tired of the one we're in, because we think that'll give us life. Why in the world would we lay aside what Jesus Christ has done for us, lay aside the love of God, and just forget it? Peter says, man, be careful. Because once you forget what Jesus Christ has done for you, the energy that you bring to the table, the pursuit of real life in your life, takes your head out of the game. And when you begin to forget what God has done for you, the character transformation that was taking place stops. And your character begins to gravitate back toward what you used to be. And the process stalls out. And that's not God's fault. That's my fault. I can't lay that at the feet of God and say, well, God, how come I'm not growing anymore? You're the one that got me in this mess. When the very clear teaching of Scripture is that He has given us everything we need for life and godliness. And He has promised that we will be participators in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. We learned that last week out of verse 4. And so if I've stopped growing and I'm moving back, writer of Hebrews says that happens because you stop learning. And you forget all that God has done for you. And Peter warns us against that. Keep your head in the game. Keep pursuing this with all your might and with all the power of God's Spirit. And then fourth, play to win. Play to win. Be serious about this. Really great passage of Scripture over in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 24, where Paul says to the Corinthians, do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Man, if you're going to run in the race, Paul said, run to win the race. Why in the world would you not do that? I know it might come as a surprise to some of you, but I'm not a very good athlete. If those of you in the balcony may not can see that as well as some up front. But, you know, hey, man, if you're going to compete, play to win. That's what Paul is saying here. And that's what Peter's saying here. If you're going to play, play to win. Look in verse 10. Therefore, since all these things are true, my brothers, be all the more eager to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never fall, and you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Man, play to win. There are people who just don't give their best effort, and they wonder why they don't experience the life, the abundant life, the true life, the real life that God says is ours. That's because we don't pursue it with all of our heart. Peter says, man, if you do these things, you'll never fall. You'll never stumble back. He's not saying here that it's possible to lose our salvation. He's saying, make your calling and election sure. Make your salvation sure. Prove it. Prove that what's on the inside by making what's on the inside come out. Live that way. That's who you are. Live that way, he says. Make it sure. And if you pursue those things, then you'll never fall. You'll never stumble. You'll never go back to your old way of life, because you will have discovered real life. And you won't want the old anymore. And he says, on that day, you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Listen to these words again in 1 Corinthians 9, where Paul talks just about that. He says, everyone who knows these things goes into strict training. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like a man running aimlessly. I do not fight like a man beating the air. No, I beat my body and make it my slave so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified from the prize. It's one thing to play like a champion. You can play and you can want to win all that you want to. But there's one other aspect of being a real life champion that we can't neglect, and that is the need to train like a champion. And that's what Paul talks about here. Do you not know that everybody runs in a race? All runners run. One gets the prize. Run so you can get it. Everyone who competes in these games goes into strict training. Prepares himself to make that happen in his life. You know, you could show up one Sunday next year. You could show up downtown to get ready to run in the Motorola Marathon. And if that's the morning that you decided to start training for that, you're going to finish way behind. Okay? But if you start now and work all year, you'll finish the race. And if you keep doing it in a few years, you'll actually have a time probably that you could be proud of. But it doesn't happen just because you want to. It doesn't happen just because you want to play to be a champion. It happens because you've trained yourself to be a champion. And Paul says, so that's what I do. Man, I don't just kind of run aimlessly or shadow box. He said, man, I beat my body. I bring it into subjection so that unless I'm challenging everybody else to live out the life of Jesus Christ, when I stand before Jesus Christ, I hadn't been living it out myself. What a disappointment. Not that he won't go to heaven, but that he'll be disappointed when he gets there because he's failed to live out the life that God had for him. He said, man, what a disappointment that would be. He didn't want his readers to be there. Peter didn't want his readers to be there. And so he said, press on with these things. And one day, you'll receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Well, what does that training look like? How can you and I begin to train ourselves to live a real life? Well, here's how it goes, okay? You live a life of actions. You live a life of actions and motives. That's what you do every day that you live. Things happen. You feel certain ways about it. You live a life of action. And beginning to train yourself for godliness looks something like this. You live that life of action, and then you take time to reflect on the life that you're living. So how am I doing? How am I acting in these areas of my life, in my personal life, in my life at home, in my life at work, as I engage in the community, you know? How am I living out the life of Jesus Christ? How well am I doing that? And I go into that relationship with God, that interactive relationship that's the power source, that's the power switch for transformation. And I throw myself before God and I say, God, how am I doing? Really? And I look into His Word and I let His Word speak to me and teach me. And I let His Holy Spirit bring conviction in my life. But I spend some time reflecting on what's going on in my life. And then as I reflect, I begin to see, hey, man, there's some things that need to change. And I decide to make those changes. Say, God, this is what you've been saying to me. I know that true life is found in you. I know that real life is found in you. And I'm going to change. I'm going to begin to take the steps necessary to make a difference in these areas that you've shown to me. They'd be different areas for all of us. But as I reflect upon the actions of my life, I have to come to a place where I say, okay, this is going to be different. I'm going to change. And once I come there, then I begin to train myself to be like Jesus Christ. as I train myself to be like Him, and as I grow and as I change, I come back around to my actions again, then I see that there's a difference. It may be a simple difference, but there's change. Instead of hollering at my son's little league umpire really loud and embarrassing my son and my wife and my other kids, and should be embarrassing myself, but I'm really not. Now all of a sudden I don't holler out at him, but just a couple of times instead of the whole game. And the only reason I stopped is because God's been speaking to me about that. That just kind of shoots my testimony every time I do that. Why would anybody think I'm like Jesus Christ doing that? And so I start to live differently, and I go back to God, and He says, hey, that's you did pretty good here, but then you kind of messed up there, and here's why. Oh, yeah, I see that. And so what are you going to do about it? Well, I'm going to do different. Okay, well, let's do some training. Let's work on it. And my life starts to get different. It starts to look more like Jesus Christ. Okay? So, being Father's Day, okay, you say, man, I'm reflecting, I'm spending time with God, I'm spending time in His Word, because that's where training starts, really, that interactive relationship with God. I'm spending time in His Word, and He says, man, we got some father work we need to do here. Yeah, I know. Well, what do you know? Well, I know when I get home from work, I tend to blow up at my kids. Leave me alone. I'm tired. I've been driving on 183, all the other morons, and just leave me alone. Okay, so I blow up at my wife. I blow up at my family. Got all this relational friction going on. And God says, yeah, I've been noticing that too. That's kind of why I led you to this Ephesians 6:4 passage this morning in your time with me. And so what are we going to do about it? Well, I really want to change. Yeah. Do you want to change enough to determine that you will change and to begin training to change? And you say, yeah, I'd really like to do that. And so out of that interactive relationship with God, I'd say, you know, I need to memorize this passage of Scripture. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. So I memorize that verse of Scripture, and then I begin to meditate on it. I begin to transform my mind. Remember what Paul said? Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind. It all starts here in your head. I have to think differently to act differently. And so I begin to memorize, and I begin to meditate on that Scripture. God, what are you saying to me in here? What do you want me to do? Don't exasperate my children. Okay, what does that mean? What does that look like? You know, I was going through this verse myself a while back, and I said, God, what does that look like? And He said, well, why don't you ask your kids what it looks like? Thanks. So I sat down with my son one Monday morning. We breakfast on Mondays together, and I said, hey, Jared, here's kind of what God's been showing me in my quiet time. And I said, how do I make you mad? Boom, man, he had an answer. Like he had been waiting for me to ask that question. Boom, you know, thanks. Whoa. You know, but he had an answer. And I thought, well, I do that, don't I? He said, yeah, you do that a lot. Yeah, so I've got to change. I've got to be different. So God speaks to me in that time, and I decide I'm going to be different. And so I start training. And I keep spending time with God, because that's where the power to change is. And I hide God's word in my heart so I won't sin against Him. And I start thinking about it, and I start meditating on it, and God says, here's some things you can start working on. You know, He doesn't give you the whole thing at once, because you know you can't take it all at once, but He starts working where you need work. And then He says, you know, hey, we could train, how about on the way home you start thinking about, okay, when I walk in the door, here's how I'm going to respond. If this happens, here's how I'm going to respond. And maybe I just kind of think about it in my mind, or maybe I even say the words, okay, I'm training. For when I get home, I'm training off the spot. So when I'm on the spot, what I want to happen, what God wants to happen in me, that's what happens. If I want to be a real life champion, Peter said, hey, get after it. Make every effort. God's doing His part. All the power that you need, everything for life and godliness, it's there. God's doing His part. When are you going to do your part? And I do that by living my life spending some serious time with God thinking about it, determining what needs to change, and training myself to be like Jesus Christ. Are you breaking any spiritual sweat? What if you gave the same effort at your job that you give to your spiritual transformation? Would you still have a job? What if you gave the same effort to your spiritual transformation that you give to knocking a couple of strokes off your golf game or making a little bit of extra money to spend on yourself? What if you gave that same time, effort, and resources to living out real life? Think it'd make a difference? Sure it would. And so we're challenged to make every effort in God's power. And life will get different. And real life will take place. And you'll live it up. Let's pray. Father, we know that we are very insufficient for these things. And we know that the power to change is within you. And in your wisdom, you have engaged us in that process. That we don't just sit idly by waiting for you to do things. But you have determined to partner with us in our life change. And so, Lord, help us to rely on your strength and to be diligent to bring all of our energies to bear, to supply all that's needed to experience the life-changing reality of Jesus Christ from the inside out. In Jesus' name, amen.